single soul. Reaching a further and stepping in closer. CGM TV.
Hello, welcome to Living Life. Today, we look into yet another day in the Israelites' struggle in the wilderness. You know, they are the chosen people. They're the ones who have the favor from God. So you would think, after all the miracle that God has done for them, they would be very faithful to God all the way through, especially when you're in danger, constant danger of being killed or ruled over by other countries, other people groups. I mean, when you are constantly under threat, you would think you would honor God who has rescued you from Egypt. You would honor God so faithfully each and every day. But you know what? They're human, just like you and me. And so what happens is that they start to forget God. And especially there are two sins that come up in their lives, in people of Israel, their lives, that really threaten to take them away from God completely. Well, those two sins are highlighted today in these scriptures. And after we read the words together, I want to come back and talk about these two sins. Because if I am guessing correctly, you and I and the people group that we are part of, we also, even though it's like thousands of years removed, we still struggle with this stuff. I tell you, these things are very hard to win over, even for the most faithful. So listen up, and we're going to talk about it after we take a look at the Word of God together.
Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 through 18. When Israel was staying in Shittim, the man began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women, who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. The people ate and bowed down before these gods, so Israel joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor. And the Lord's anger burned against them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of these people, kill them, and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to Israel's judges, "Each of you must put to death those of your men who have joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor." Then an Israelite man brought to his family a Midianite woman, right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel, while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw this, he left the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and followed the Israelite into the tent. He drove the spear through both of them, through the Israelite and into the woman's body. Then the plague against the Israelites was stopped, but those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. The Lord said to Moses, "Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites, for he was as zealous as I am for my honor among them, so that in my zeal I did not put an end to them. Therefore tell him I am making my covenant of peace with him. He and his descendants will have a covenant of a lasting priesthood, because he was zealous for the honor of his God and made atonement for the Israelites." The name of the Israelite who was killed with the Midianite woman was Zimri, son of Salu, the leader of a Simeonite family. And the name of the Midianite woman who was put to death was Cozbi, daughter of Zur, a tribal chief of a Midianite family. The Lord said to Moses, "Treat the Midianites as enemies and kill them, because they treated you as enemies when they deceived you in the affair of Peor and their sister Cozbi, the daughter of a Midianite leader, the woman who was killed when the plague came as a result of Peor."
Balak, the Moabite king, he tries everything to put a curse on Israelites, the emerging enemy. The ones who are trampling over his land, en route to the promised land, so-called, and their God is behind them. And so Balak is really, really bent on trying to make sure that Israelites cannot get to their promised land or rule over any land. Well, his plan does not succeed. But as you know, in today's scripture, it talks about how Moabites figured out how to entice the whole nation of Israel into sin, so thereby they would destroy themselves. Now, when you sin, you destroy yourself. When you sin, you push away God. When you sin, well, very definition of sin is going away from God, living apart from God, saying you don't need God, right? Well, they actually come up with better solution than putting any kind of curse on them. Because rather than killing them off, they can pretty much kill themselves off by sinning against God. And now they come up with two different sins. I'm not sure if they sat down and strategized this, but you know, Satan certainly helped them to figure this out. And the two sins are sexual idolatry, sexual immorality, or rather, and idolatry. Now, those two are pretty much the same thing. You know, one causes the other, right? But let me explain these two sins. Sexual immorality, outlined in verse 1. While Israel was staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women. Verse 2, who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. The people ate the sacrificial meal and bowed down before the gods. Now, when you read verse 1 and 2, doesn't it like rip at your heart? Because, I mean, you are favored by God. You are so loved by God. God is ready to do so much for you on your behalf. And yet, just as soon as you saw this Moabite woman, probably with her beauty and glory, you just said, you know what, man, forget about God. I'm just going to spend the night with her. I'm just going to spend this time with her. Sexual immorality. They knew that God doesn't want them to have sexual relationship with these Moabite women. They knew better, right? They knew to keep themselves pure. But was it easy to keep themselves pure? No. This sin here, sexual immorality, I believe is one of those sins that will, you know, outlast humanity, you know, human history. I mean, this is very difficult. You know, every country you visit, every culture you visit, what do you see? At the lowest, bottom, filthy lifestyle that maybe inner city and, you know, whenever a lot of people get together, right? What happens? You know, the poverty and all of those sickness and all of that is happening in the midst of the city, right? When people congregate, stuff like that happens, right? Evil begets evil. And yet, the lowest ranks, it's all about selling people, prostitution, you know? People paying money to destroy, essentially, people made in God's image. When we engage in these activities, right? Sexual immorality, we're basically saying, God, you're no good. Your creation, I can do whatever I want to do with. You know, this body is mine, is what we are saying. We're essentially saying, Creator, forget you, right? I'm going to trample on your image. And so it rips at the heart of God. And it should rip at our hearts too. As Christians, made in the image of God, infused with the Spirit of God, it has to enrage us. But you know what? We don't. You know, the rampant usage or partaking of pornography, you know, all over the world, especially with internet, is really telling us how grave the sin is. You know, many Christians go to church and worship. They come home and engage in pornography. Many people, we worship God, but at the same time, we engage in sexual immorality without any guilt. We can do this dance, you know, over and over again. Why? Because from the time long ago, this particular sin is one of the favorite tools of Satan to destroy us and pull us away from God. Now, if you're engaged in any of this, I tell you, it's today is the time to say no, because it's how serious this sin is before God. It's destroying your soul. It's destroying you, the image of God. So sexual immorality, and it just naturally leads to idolatry, because when you say no to God, you're worshiping something else. You know, it doesn't have to be Baal. I mean, it could be anything. It could be Baal. It could be whatever. Anything other than God is an idol. It's not worthy of your time, your money, your worship, your all. All right? We only give our soul to one being. That's God, Jehovah God. And so as we read this, we realize, you know what? All of that you have received from God, and the best you could do in return is sexual immorality and idolatry. Well, that's human, you know. Let us not just point finger at them. Let us point finger at ourselves and realize that we need to repent too. Or we would face the same consequence, eternal life away from God. Let us run to God with thanksgiving and also repentance in our hearts today. When we read verses like verse 9 of today's text, but those who died in the plague numbered 24,000, we get fixated on this number. I mean, that's a humongous number. I mean, one person's life matters. So 24,000 people dying of plague, that's disgusting and it's evil, it's bad. But you know what? We have to stop and realize our sexual immorality and idolatry, when we engage in it, we may not be killing people with plague, but we do damage people's lives and we kill them spiritually, left and right, and that would number a lot more than that. 24,000 human beings dying should alarm us to the reality that in our soul and as a society, we are killing ourselves by hundreds of thousands of people a day by engaging in idolatry and sexual immorality. We're breaking up families. We're breaking up people's soul. We're pulling people away from God. Eternal damnation and hell. Now, if that doesn't make us alarmed, I don't know what does. So don't be simply sad about these 24,000 people dying. Let's be sad about a whole lot more people spending eternity apart from God. So let us have the right perspective. You know, just because we don't see people dying physically doesn't mean people are not dying. There are more things precious than body, which like soul and spirit. So let us go to God and ask Him to help us and heal our land. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is with a grave heart that we look at these numbers. We look at how Moabites seduced Israelites into sin, sexual immorality, and idolatry. We realize that, Lord, it's happening to us today. It's happening to us right now. Because we take these sins so lightly, even though it's destroying us. Father, help us to rebel against these sins. Help us to cling on to You, Your mercy and Your love. Help us, Lord, to win over these sins by the blood of Christ and glorify Your name forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For a single soul, Lecina Fardo è stepping in prosa, si